could compete. When you're with the Flintstones, have a yabba dabba do time. A dabba do time. We'll have a gay old time.
Hello and welcome to Saturday Morning Cinema, a podcast about movies based on cartoons where we try to answer two very simple questions. Is this a good movie and is this a good adaptation of the cartoon it's based on? I'm Matt S. and joining me today is...
Jolson, the king of the quarantine.
Alright, and today's movie is 1966's The Man Called Flintstone, based on, of course, the classic 1960s Hanna-Barbera television show The Flintstones.
And to say it's a classic is really underselling. It's a piece of, like, Americana.
Yeah, it's a staple of American TV.
Every record that The Simpsons now holds used to be held by the Flintstones. It was the first really big prime time. This was a sitcom.
Right. Yeah, so at this time, Hanna-Barbera were primarily known for their kids' shows, because that's what they were making, and animation in general was becoming increasingly known as exclusively kid stuff, and they wanted to kind of try and break that stigma a little bit.
And they really succeeded. This would lead to the success of the Flintstones becoming probably their flagship product right after Yogi Bear, and it is, like, you can see a lot of not just The Simpsons, but the, like, Modern Family. You can see a lot of, like, Roseanne in this.
You can see a lot of Honeymooners, although some of the people involved in the production would deny that.
Yeah, there is a lot of why I oughta humor.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean it is almost exactly the Honeymooners. Believe it was Hannah or Barbera, one of the two, openly admitted that the Honeymooners was an influence, and then the other one denied it.
Great partnership you got there.
Yeah. I mean, let's be real, it definitely was an influence, and they were almost sued for it.
Or as they would say, rock sued.
Yeah, gosh. So getting into the premise of this show, it is just a family sitcom, but set in the Stone Age. And everything is replaced with a Stone Age version. So, like,
which is
right? It is
the best
about
and the
90%
worst part of the
puns
show.
And about 10%, like, just your standard domestic sitcom stuff.
The rock puns are pretty bad, but, like, some of the inventions, and, like, they get really creative with this. Like, for a picture, they have a bird just chisel it out with stone.
Yeah, that stuff is good.
But then it's like the Seth MacFarlane Family Guy bit, let's have rock sex in our rock bed. Like, it's to say that's wrong is kind of, it's not correct. They full on just will
we'll
add
get
rock
to
in
it,
there.
But, like, at one point in the movie, they have a prehistoric version of the Eiffel Tower that's just called the Eiffel Rock Tower, which is, like, the, like, I can't even call it, like, the lowest form of wordplay, because it's not wordplay, really.
It's not wordplay.
It's just putting
it's
the word
just,
rock in something and calling it a
day. Just put rock in it.
So...
No, the early show is pretty... Like, I grew up with, like, just watching bits and pieces. It's... Right from the get-go, they already have an identity. Like, Pebbles and Bam Bam get added in later, and it does morph, but, like, from the get-go, it's very much... And it's not really a show about the Flintstones. It's more Barney and Fred.
And of course you have Alan Reed as Fred Flintstone and Mel Blanc as Barney Rubble, which I was not aware that he did, like, full-time TV work. Well, I guess that makes sense.
And especially for Hanna-Barbera.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, you know, we talked about it last week, but Looney Tunes would have been wrapping up around this time, so it makes sense that he would have made the transition to TV. Yeah, I mean, the cast is very good in this show.
It is the best part because it just kind of works. Everybody has their role. And originally Dawes Butler was Barney for season 2 for a couple episodes, but they reverted back to Mel Blanc.
Oh, weird. Yeah, I believe he did the voice in one of the pitch pilots, which it didn't sound right.
Yeah, because it sounds like Yogi.
Yeah. And we don't want anything reminding us of Yogi anymore ever again, so.
Right, so I think we should get into this movie.
Right, so starting off, in general, what did you think of this?
It was a very big step up from last week.
I agree.
Last week was nigh unbearable, but with this, I could watch this again and not completely lose my mind.
Yes, the word I would use to describe the man called Flintstone is tolerable.
It is very tolerable.
It is, you can watch it and not hate yourself as you're watching it. That said,
yeah, that's about
still not great. Yeah. So, what we have here is a plot that has been done many, many times, and I have to ask the question, has it ever been done well? This plot where a kind of schlubby, like, working class guy gets mistaken for, like, an international spy and gets sucked into some kind of, like, spy plot. Has it ever, like, are there any movies with this premise that are actually good?
The only, like, closest thing you can say is probably, like, the first Austin Powers, where it's, but it that is the closest.
Yeah, I would say that doesn't even really fit the premise.
Which, yeah.
Like, I guess, like, The Man Who Knew Too Little with Bill Murray, which is, like, the only one of these that people seem to have any affection for. I've never seen it, but...
Yeah, it, like, I have it written in my notes, it's Muppets Most Wanted.
Which is not... Man, that movie... I forgot it that killed, movie existed until you brought it up.
It killed the Muppets.
It killed them again. Like, they were dead, and then they briefly came back to life, and
they had that really good reboot movie.
And then they were, like, killed, like, 2 years later.
By Ricky Gervais.
Ugh, man. God. We're not covering that movie, are we? We're not doing the Muppets movies?
It is... Luckily, they are not animated.
Alright, cool. Great. Awesome. I don't ever want to watch that movie again.
Unless there's a Muppets Babies movie.
I don't think there is.
Alright, we're in the clear then.
Okay. So, yeah, so this is... Fred Flintstone gets mistaken for a spy...
Slag.
Rock slag. A spy for... country that the Flintstones live in. I guess it's prehistoric America?
They never really say.
France and Rome and Italy and like, they go to a couple other countries that are all, like, the like actual countries.
That's really it. They plan a vacation. And Dino is already taken out of the equation. He is taken out early.
Oh, yeah. They drop the pets off right away because... there's too much going on here, and they don't have time.
They have a kangaroo, which...
I didn't know about
everybody
that.
Forgets.
Yeah,
I forgot. And also, that. Bam Bam, I looked it up, adopted.
Oh, weird. I didn't know about that either.
Yeah, they just kind of... They're in a really weird stage where everything Fred and Wilma did, the Barneys and the Rubbles had to eventually mirror.
Yeah, and also so, as they had... the kids, like, the show became more kid-oriented.
And it just went away from being a sitcom.
Yeah. So, right off the bat, I think the animation in this is... It looks a little cheaper than Hey There, It's Yogi Bear, at least to my eye. I don't know.
But they do a lot more.
Yeah.
There's a lot more with it.
Yeah, it's more limited... in terms of, like, movement, but I feel like the visual ideas are more interesting.
Yeah, and they actually had some, like, cuts in this, where it's, like, they tried to make... It feels more like a movie.
Yeah. Yeah, like, they do some interesting scene transitions with, like, these kind of neon colors and stuff. The intro is a straight-up parody of, like, the old Bond intros, which...
Yeah, with the Bond theme.
Yeah, the songs are... I'm gonna be charitable and say not great.
Except for the one where they got Louis Prima.
Yeah, that one was okay. Although, I mean...
I will defend my man Louis Prima, which, if you don't know who Louis Prima is, he was a Italian singer who was known for having a very, like, almost stereotypically, like, 60s to 40s voice.
Yeah.
Like a lounge singer, almost. And if that name sounds familiar... it would be because he recently was sampled and credited for the Kanye West and Kid Cudi album Kids See Ghosts, where he's on two songs.
And he was also King Louie in The Jungle Book, the original. So yeah, he gets the one good song, although I don't know how much of that is just his voice carrying the thing.
Yeah.
But the rest of these songs are not good.
Especially the kid ones. Good lord.
We'll get to the kid ones. So unlike Yogi Bear, the opening is very different from anything we would ever see on the show. We open on Rock Slag in a car chase.
And they pull a fake out.
Yeah, yeah. He looks identical to Fred, and he's wearing the same outfit as Fred, which is kind of weird, but...
Yeah. Well, it's darker.
Yeah.
It has... It's almost like you picked the same Smash character with the same outfit.
It's like you went into Photoshop, and you went into the color palette and just went, like, one shade darker. But, yeah, he's being chased by these two enemy spies,
which... Ali
and Bobo.
Which Ali, woof.
Very...
It is a straight-up Asian, like, they do the whole Ching Chong.
It's extremely racist.
And this is the first instance of the, like, really bad racism, which will probably pop up a lot in this.
I mean, hopefully not, because we'll be jumping to the 80s after this, but, like...
Then it'll go to gay stereotypes.
Yeah, but man, like, I was shocked. Like, I was shocked that you could still... I mean, I guess it's 1966, but... That they could still get away with something this blatant.
Yeah. It's like straight up like close to like you're a sap, Mr. Jap.
Yeah, it feels like old like World War II era stuff. It's really bad.
And then Bobo. He's not as bad, but he's like they kind of give him, he's supposed to be more Middle Eastern.
Right.
But they never go too far.
Yeah, neither of them are good.
Fred just gets into an accident while prepping for this camping trip that they're going on together with Barney and Betty, with Wilma. And he has to go to the hospital, where probably the single best joke in this is in the hospital.
I'm curious what you would say that the single best joke is, because I don't remember.
Because Slag is in the hospital.
Right, he gets injured in the car chase.
After a gargoyle falls in him. Yeah. And they have this long sequence where they're trying to fix this patient who you believe is Slag.
Oh, yes.
Turns out to just be the gargoyle, which is the funniest joke in this.
It's a really good bit. Like, I'm gonna be honest, like, I thought a lot of these bits were pretty good. I mean, I wasn't, like, laughing out loud at this movie, but there was a lot that I was, like, chuckling and being like, oh, okay, like, that's pretty well done.
Like, Barney wears the cast for Fred.
Yeah.
That's a good joke.
Yeah.
Solid nose exhale.
So, this is where we kind of set up the plot of the thing. So, Rock Slag is, again, identical to Fred, and...
Out
of commission. He's injured, and he's also just wildly attractive to women, even though he looks identical to Fred, who's kind of just like this big, schlubby guy.
Yeah.
But this... spy organization that I don't think we ever get a name for.
It's supposed to be like MI6.
Would it be MI? Well, MI6 is British intelligence.
Yeah, but because, but
yeah,
since this is a Bond parody.
Yeah. So yeah. So MI6 arranges this meeting between Rock Slag and this woman, Tanya, I believe. And the idea is that he has to meet with her and get information on this guy, the Green Goose, who has a plan to take over the world with a doomsday weapon. But with Slag out of commission, they convince Fred to do it instead in exchange for a free trip to Paris for him and his family.
And money, and which money. They never really...
No, I don't say how much money. Presumably it's a lot. I don't know. But that's what gets the plot in motion. And right away... we get to an actual plot much faster in this than we did in Yogi. This is like 20 minutes of setup, maybe, and we're in the main thrust of the movie.
And Barney and Betty get roped into this, and also Fred is the only one who knows about this. He is not allowed to tell anybody else.
It creates like the main conflict of the movie, because he's trying to like make the trip enjoyable for his friends and family, but like also go do the spy stuff that he's expected to do without.
It's a lot like there's this standard like superhero joke. It's like, it's a lot like Spider-Man where it's like, oh, I have to do this, but oh no, my family can't figure out.
Yeah, I did have a note here. This is basically Spider-Man Far From Home.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. And then they get to Paris, which already sets up complications. It exists.
Yeah.
It's not like rock Paris. It's straight up just Paris.
Yeah, the Eiffel Tower is there. The Eiffel Rock Tower.
But it's not like they... It is one of the few places... Italy and Paris get named by, like, title.
I think at the
not
end...
Not as puns.
I think at the end they refer to your rock.
Or... Yeah, but it's still Paris.
Yeah.
Which it just felt like... If this was... This movie is just full of plot holes. And that's kind of something I admire about these, is they just don't care.
Oh, yeah, no. They're just... It's like, get in, get out, do the jokes that we have to do. Don't worry about the plot at all. Don't worry about any kind of, like, dramatic through line or anything. Like, there's a little bit of an arc here, but not really.
It is all about the bits.
Yeah.
Which it kind of does disservice to explain the plot.
Yeah.
It's very much just plot setups, bits.
Which is, like, for something like this, I don't know that I would need... particularly, like, deep plot.
It's, I kind of liken it to a Mario game.
Yeah, where it's just
the
going...
plot serves a purpose of just moving things along.
Yeah.
Also, the actor for Ranger Smith appears a lot in this, which he is a voice for, like, extras.
Yeah, he's all over this movie.
It's weird.
I think he was one of Hanna-Barbera's, like, go-to voice actors. He was just kind of in everything.
He sounds like your standard white guy. And really, it's hard to talk about this besides, like, whenever there's something that just happens that is interesting. Because, like, the gun... I do like the guns. They have a sequence where it shows, like, a Chicago typewriter or whatever. Yeah, it's, like, one of those, the, like, mobster guns.
Yeah, like a Tommy gun.
Yeah, Tommy gun. And it shoots rocks.
Yeah,
admittedly cool.
They all just shoot rocks, like medium-sized rocks.
And it's like they have where a sequence where there is a pistol where the sight is like a rock. So, but instead of the gun shooting, it's just it turns out to be like a slingshot.
Yeah, there's a lot of like good physical humor here. Like the plane that takes them to Paris is basically just like a carved plank of wood on a slingshot that just gets launched to the other side of the world, which...
And they kind of, like, do a little bit of commentary, almost, where it's, like, first class, second class, third class, which has aged perfectly.
Yeah, and, like, the last class passengers are just sitting on the wing of the plane.
They sure do love their outside-the-plane jokes in Hanna-Barbera.
Yeah, between this and Yogi, that's a well that they apparently went to multiple times.
And then they arrived to Paris, which Paris takes up, like, not even, like, 10 minutes.
Yeah, they get there and they leave very quickly. We get just enough time for a little short, like, musical montage of them seeing the sights and the two enemy spies, like, just dying over and over.
Yeah, and that's really the B story, almost, where these... It's a lot like Pink Panther, where it's like... Or Mr. Magoo, where it's like, I didn't know who I was about to be killed.
Yeah.
And I just moved.
Yeah, they just like...
Hilarity ensues.
There was one bit that I did find really funny in Paris is when they're taking pictures of the Eiffel Tower and the two spies try to tip over this big, like... It looks like the Washington Monument
or
something.
Yeah, exactly. It looks like the, like, Washington Monument.
Yeah, it tries
or
to, like...
Or the Wash Rockington Mountain.
Yeah, they try to, like, tip it over to crush Fred and it tilts the other way, so they, like... run halfway across the countryside, and it somehow
they do a Prometheus like no Prometheus run where they just don't go right.
Yeah, they just run in a straight line.
If someone can take that footage and add the Prometheus running music to that,
yeah,
thank you. Yeah. Good meme. You'll get like 3 likes on Twitter.
Yeah, but yeah, like it's hard to get into this movie because it's like this is such a standard plot that has been done so many times, and the variations here are so minor.
Which, my head perked up once they introduced someone who, the character named Triple X, or XXX, which at this point, that was the official rating for porn.
Yeah, weird. That
and were- also now is known as the hit Vin Diesel franchise that isn't Fast and Furious or yeah. Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, so the chief of unnamed spy agency introduces Fred to this other agent, Triple X, who is like a master of disguise and can...
And immediately, I was like, oh, he's a villain.
See, that actually caught me off guard.
I called it, because they're not going to set up more characters.
I thought that he would just be, like, the Q to Fred's Bond. I did not see the twist coming, but that might just be me not paying attention.
And yeah, right around here is where I kind of, like, lost a bit, because it just kind of happens. They're in Italy, there's a bit where, that is one of the charming bit where the Louis Prima song happens, where he's with Wilma. They're just looking out, and that's kind of what makes this a little bit better, is none of these characters, like, you feel that these characters, you like them.
Yeah.
You can say I like Fred Flintstone and Barney Rubble. Yogi cannot stand.
There is more to them as characters than there was to Yogi, where Yogi is, like, one note and cannot be anything else, and when they try to make him do other things, it doesn't work. These Flintstones characters, they are, you know, because they were written for adults. They have...
Yeah.
More...
Fred reminds me so much of Homer.
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah, he was like the template for Homer Simpson. And
yeah,
like all these characters, they have more internal life. They have more like wants and needs. They have more interpersonal conflict. Like there is just more material here to make
they're
a movie
family.
Out. Yeah, it's a family.
And Fred just kind of walks into, like, he asks help from Bobo and his compatriot, and doesn't know that they're the villains. And he gets captured, where they take them to another place, which turns out to be an amusement park. Again, the parallels to this in Far From Home are immense.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't even pick up on that, but someone at Marvel watched The Man Called Flintstone.
Hanna Barbera, if you have come back to life, Feige owes you a check.
Yeah. So, I mean, we skipped over a lot, because there's a lot that happens that is just, like, not particularly remarkable.
And the thing that we're skipping over is two songs.
Oh my god, these songs. So we have to talk about this. So that, of course, they bring the kids along on the trip, and there's one scene where Wilma is tucking the kids into bed, and she closes the door, and these, like, the kids are like babies, they're like infants, and as soon as Wilma closes the door, Pebbles, the Flintstones' little baby girl, starts singing this awful, just horrible song. I think they got
the best
a real...
thing I can say is it's close to the Kazoo Kid.
Yeah,
like. In quality,
it's so bad. It's like
the only thing I could get through that is the animation in this sequence isn't entirely bad.
Yeah, no, the animation is actually pretty decent in both song sequences, honestly.
They change up the style for a Bam Bam song.
Yeah, it like they tried some interesting visual things here. The problem is that the songs are horrible.
They got a kid.
Horrible. They add nothing to the plot. Like, this first song is about, like, what, like, making a wish?
Yeah, and it feels like they're like, we need to pad.
It feels like a song written for, like, actual infants. Like,
yes.
Fetuses. This is a song you play for...
This is on Baby Einstein's Volume 5
this
or
is a,
something.
This is a song you play for your sperm.
It's not even, like, Kids Bop would do this.
No, it's... And it's really weird, because the rest of the movie, it's not, like, super sophisticated, but it feels like it's aiming a little bit older.
Yeah, they have, like, jokes about, like, marriage, and
yeah.
Where it's, like, and how, like, there's sexual attraction. It's a solid, like, adult. It's not like it's bad content-wise, but it's like the jokes are more adult-oriented.
Yeah. Like, it's a family movie for the most part. Like, it feels like it's written to try and entertain, like, the entire family. And then these songs come in, they're just, like, poison to anyone over the age of 1 month.
Yeah, I can't even see a kid like this.
And then the second song, like, actively pissed me off. Because, so we have this moment where Fred tries to get out of the mission because he's worried about, like, endangering
his... He's in too deep.
Yeah, he's worried about endangering his family. And the chief basically tells him, like, hey, if the Green Goose gets away with this and has his doomsday weapon, like, your kid won't have a future. And so, like, Fred goes to, like, sit with the family at the park, and he's watching his little girl play in the sand. And he's, like, really depressed, and he's, like, thinking to himself about her future. And then all of a sudden we get this awful, awful song about, like, what the kids want to do for a career when they grow up.
And it's animated like it's, like, a kid's drawing.
Yeah, which is kind of, like, it's nice, and, like, it actually has more fluid movement than probably any other animation in the movie.
But god damn.
The song is so bad, and it has so little to do with what should be the focus at that point in the movie.
Because it's supposed to be the emotional, like...
It's supposed to be a turning point for Fred, because, like, after this song, he gets up and realizes, like, oh, I have to go finish this mission for the good of my kid. But the song has nothing to do with that realization. It's literally just the kids, like, imagining to themselves what it would be like to grow up to be an astronaut.
Yeah.
Or a teacher. It's,
or
like...
Or a pill-popping
oh, yeah.
Doctor.
Yeah.
Bam Bam's idea of a doctor, which is really weird, is just giving pills to kids.
Just, like, a giant bottle of pills.
He is the, like, Malachi Love Robinson of doctors in the Stone Age.
Oh, man.
But... Take some essential oils, you'll be fine.
Some essential rocks.
And one of the best, like, what is it? They, when, like, he realizes he has to do this, he has to walk back, and they have, like, they have a seedy seller of goods, and he sells them an imitation, genuine diamond necklace. Which got a chuckle out of me. And Fred goes, that's an imitation? Is that a real imitation? diamond necklace? Yep. Yeah. And it's the MacGuffin.
Yeah, that I didn't expect that to actually turn out to be important, but at the end of the movie, he cons the Green Ghost into... Or Green Goose, sorry.
Goose.
Cons the Green Goose into getting into his own rocket and launching himself into space.
Spoiler.
Yeah,
which
so...
Which we have...
Yeah, so...
They get to this amusement park, which... At this point, it goes from being a Bond send-up to almost like a Batman send-up.
Yeah, because the Green Goose is not like a Bond villain. Like, he's got a full-on supervillain costume.
And so does his, like, Tanya turns out to be a double agent.
Yeah, and Tanya, voiced by June Foray, is, like, straight... She is just Natasha from Rocky and Bullwinkle. Like, literally down to the voice. It's the same character.
And Barney goes looking... Because at this point, while he was trying to find Tanya... The family believes that Fred is cheating.
Yeah.
Because he goes off with a woman of the night, and they want to kill him.
Oh, yeah. They end up injuring Rock Slag again, because he shows
Which
up.
Which is weird, because that is the only time he shows up in this movie after the beginning.
Yeah, there's no resolution for him. I assume he just dies. Like,
Slag is fucking dead.
He's dead.
Two people basically die. I would say seven. Seven people fucking die.
People die in the Flintstones movie.
The agent that he was in contact with, the like head of the organization.
Oh yeah, the chief dies. He's dead.
He is fucking dead.
They like drop a like a statue on him or something like that.
Yeah, and they steal the like this fucking idiot. He has it written out in, like, plain words that, nope, our defense system isn't ready.
It's just like
don't let them know.
A little post-it note. It's like, by the way, our missile defense
isn't ready. Yeah. It is the, like, the most unintentionally funny, like, oh, why would you do that?
it's like the thing on Xbox's website that tells you if Xbox Live is up. Like,
Hey, Rock is the missile defense
system online? Nah, sorry. Down for maintenance.
Yeah, and it's just like, okay. And the rocket they have, which
rocket.
They yeah. They didn't need to do that one. It's just like the closest thing I can say it looks like is if you played the Fallout 4 DLC, it looks like the Heaven's Gate send up rocket. Which it's so shittily done.
I'm very confused by the Green Goose's plan in all this. So I guess the idea is to just, like... Because he said... They go back and forth between, like...
Chaos.
Just wants to watch the world burn.
Yeah, but it confuses me at the end, because... Barney and Fred, they eventually get out of jail. And they miss a really good pun, which I got kind of mad at. Because he has been wearing a wire with a bird. And to get the keys from the sleeping guards, they have the bird fly. And the bird originally says, "I am a recorder, not a retriever." Which makes no sense. Yeah. Besides, they should have said receiver.
Yeah.
And I got really mad at that stupid pun that they didn't just say receiver. Because then it would have worked.
Yeah, I mean, by the end, it felt like they were kind of half-assing all these puns.
Were they ever assing them to begin with?
I would say they were like three-quarters assing it the rest of the time.
And they get out of jail, and at this point, they just kind of reveal their hand. Barney has learned that Fred is codenamed Slag Rock's own, which feeds into the 007 theory being a, like, James Bond is not a person but a title almost.
Yeah,
but they just kind of meet Triple X, who's just kind of walking in, and they're like, "Hey Triple X, what are you doing here?" And it's like, "We found this mask," and he's like, "Yeah, can I have that back?"
Yeah,
and then Fred's like, "Why?"
It's like, "Oh, because I'm the Green Goose."
Oh
yeah, it's like very like just kind of matter of fact, like, "Yeah, it's me,
I need this plot, and I am the Green Goose."
Like, please, let's wrap this up.
And probably the best moment of this movie is, like, Fred and Barney being trapped in the rocket.
Yeah.
Because they reveal themselves to be selfless. And where it's like, you know, if I have to die, I'm fine doing it for my country. Yeah. I'm going to be saving people. Just and then Barney's like, it's good.
Yeah. I mean, and they have, like, this, like, just really nice friendship that's very, like, wholesome.
And then Fred just goes, "I hate that I never got to give her this Netflix," which sets off the MacGuffin.
Right, so they trick the Green Goose into letting them out of the rocket in exchange for a fake necklace that they tell him is worth $1 million, which, like, what did the Green Goose want? Because, like, apparently that rocket would have destroyed a country or the world, or...
I don't know. Like, they, it's kinda... really like, it's almost like Joker from the Batman TV series. What is his, he has no, like, plan.
Yeah, no.
Besides, he's... like, chaos and money.
Yeah, he's just, like, one of the, whichever one is easier.
And they aim this rocket for, and then they're like, "Yeah, sure, you want to get here, we'll give you the necklace if you come in." And then off screen, they beat him up. Yeah. Which in the, like, last 10 minutes, Fred has become, like, a master of Kung Fu.
Right, yeah. He, like, despite never having learned anything over the course of the movie, he's now, like, a master at combat and deception. And
they destroy his signature tie.
Yeah.
Which, again, another parallel to Far From Home.
Oh, man, I already hated that movie so much, and now I know it's just a ripoff of this one.
Yeah, you can make the legitimate claim that Barney is, what's her name? Zendaya.
Yeah.
He is essentially that. And then, after they send him up, plot end.
Yeah, yeah, like, they're welcomed back home as heroes.
Which already, they gave this really, because at this point, Slag Rockstad was a known person.
Yeah, Rockslag was a guy.
He was a celebrity.
Yeah, like, even just, like, in the hospital in middle of nowhere, Bedrock, like, he's just getting swarmed by nurses.
Movie end, they go fishing.
There's so little going on here in this movie. There's so little to discuss. Like, this is such a straightforward we're just going to do this plot as it's always been done.
It feels like a SpongeBob special.
Kind of. Yeah, except a SpongeBob special would generally be funnier.
Yeah, unless it's Atlanta SquarePants.
Oh, God. But yeah, like, they almost gesture at some more interesting character stuff than what we would get on the TV show, but they kind of pull back from that. And so it just ends up being a collection of jokes, some of which are good. But most of which are not. Yeah. I would say for the first half of the movie, like, their batting average is pretty solid.
But then it feels like they needed to wrap this up.
Yeah, they get lazy in the second half. So yeah, I guess that's all there really is to say about this. I mean, there's just very little to it. There's just not a lot of movie here.
Yeah, it is just a setup for bits.
So to wrap things up, we got to answer our two questions. So first question, is this a good movie?
I'd give it a rock 3 out of rock 10.
All right.
So no.
Is that okay?
Actually, I'll give it a rock 4.
I would give this like a 6 out of 10. I think it is slightly above average.
Which I would like to point out is a better score than he gave Spider-Man Far From Home.
I fucking hate that movie so much. But yeah, I didn't love it. I was not like fully engaged through the whole thing, but like I was mildly amused for most of it. Like for most of it,
I would probably give it a 6, but those two songs, man.
Yeah, the songs are really bad. The songs are really bad.
I took 2 points off for each kid song.
I mean, if you skip those two songs, though, I think this is like a pretty decent little comedy. Not great. There's nothing like really stand out here, and I don't think you really need to make an effort to seek it out unless you're just like a hardcore fan. But like for hardcore,
I kind of wish they had went more on the Bond side.
Yeah, I feel like there was more material to parody with the idea of setting like a Bond movie in prehistoric times.
Like they never
times.
Really touch the gadgets. They never really touch like the villains. You could have at this point you could have done. Because right now they're really into the Connery stuff. They could have easily have done, like, a send-up of, like, the, like, M and Q and Blofeld.
Right? Or Jaws and,
The one woman which, if I say the name of, I feel uncomfortable.
But yeah, I mean, there's material there to parody that I feel like they didn't really go for. It's like just a very broad parody of spy movie tropes.
And then Batman.
Yeah, a little bit of Batman, which is weird. So then the question becomes, do we think this is a good adaptation of the show?
It is straight up the show.
Yeah. I think like fans of the show will get the most out of this, and I think they will be mostly satisfied.
This was the series finale for the original series.
And it works pretty well as a series finale, you know, like they come back home and like they're no longer like these lowly wage workers at a construction site. Like they are now national heroes, and like that feels like an okay way to leave the characters.
Yeah, except for Hoppy. Hoppy fucking dies. He is never brought up again.
Yeah, I don't think we ever see Hoppy again. So I don't know what happened to him.
Yeah. So overall, yeah. If you are a diehard fan of the Flintstones, You're fine with this. I wouldn't say outside of that you're getting much.
No. It's very slight.
There's better spy parody movies.
Yeah, there's very little here. There's not a lot to make it not recommendable, but there's not a lot of reason to recommend it. So
like there is better just if even as like a Flintstone movie. You don't really get, like, the whole, like, Flintstone experience.
Yeah.
Where
the extended cast is not here.
Yeah, there is. Dino is already, like we said, gone. But if you want just, like, more Flintstones, the Flintstones thrown into a scenario, you're fine.
Yeah.
But if you want just, like, Flintstones, you're not going to get it.
No. But I think it does its job well enough. It's decent. I'll call it a decent adaptation of the show.
But where would you put it on the movies that we have watched so far? You have two to pick from.
Oh, so we're doing rankings.
Yes.
This is not going to be a sustainable bit the further we get.
Yeah.
Sustainability. So in our current ranking, I'll go ahead and rank The Man Called Flintstone at number one and Hey There, It's Yogi Bear at a very, very distant number two.
Yeah, I have to agree. So for that, we'll probably just like release a list at the end of this podcast.
So I think that's going to do it. Once again, just like last week. Thanks for listening
to our rock podcast.
Yeah, thanks for listening to our rock cast. If you would like to send us an email about either of the movies that we've covered so far or the movie we're covering next week, 1980s Popeye starring Robin Williams and Shelley
Duvall. Actual movie.
An actual feature film that is a real movie made by a real director, a Robert Altman picture. If you would like to...
You do not know how relieved I am.
To be watching, like, an actual fucking movie.
Martin Scorsese says, yes, it's cinema.
It's cinema. It's Kino.
It's Kino.
But yeah, if you would like to send us a message about any of the movies we've covered so far, or movies that we're covering in the future to be read on future episodes, you can send emails to SaturdayMorningCinemaPod@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at SatCinemaPod. That's S-A-T Cinema P-O-D. We'll be posting any new episode announcements and updates on Twitter there. And of course, the show is available wherever you usually find your podcasts, or it will be in the very near future. We're just getting the distribution started. But
yeah. This is going to be a long haul. We hope to have you with it.
And we will probably have more to talk about in future episodes than we did in this one, but we had to do it. This was part of the list.
If you want to send your hate mail about his takes on Far From Home, you can send them to, you can DM them to @therealoj32.
I was so worried you were gonna give my real at there for a second, although I wouldn't have to give it anyway.
Well, it is your real at.
Yeah. You can find me on Twitter at @fawfulator. That's FAWFULATOR for hot takes on cartoons and comic books and politics and other stuff. Don't DM me your opinions about Spider-Man Far From Home or any other Marvel movie, because I will not read them.
Unless they're about Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 and you like it.
If you were sending me a DM about Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 being the best Marvel movie, I will read it. I will still probably not respond to it or acknowledge it in any way, but I will silently appreciate it.
You can find me at @JolsonTweets, where I will tweet about probably politics, hip-hop, and my thoughts on the Tiger King.
Yeah, you're gonna date this show even more.
Hey, I can date this show even harder if you want.
All right.
Tiger King will be forever.
I think that's gonna do it. We'll see y'all next week with 1980 live-action Popeye. So,
thank God.
Thank God, a real feature film.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
All right.